Friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus the Christ. Amen. Thomas. Thomas is well known by those of us in the church. If Thomas were to speak, he may say something like this. I'm a reasonable man. And when this man first came, I did not go dancing down the street, calling his name and clapping my hands like a silly schoolboy. Oh, I'm a reasonable man. And I still am. And so after days and weeks even of thought, I flung logic out the window to follow him. And a new order was given my life. And then, suddenly, he was taken away from us, from me, killed as a common criminal. And I needed time to think. He was the hub about which my life had wound its ordered way. Then the others came, babbling and raving, Thomas, we have seen the Lord. He lives. Oh, I wanted to believe that. But I did not dare to hope. It was too much. I was afraid that reality would smash my life apart again. I was afraid to dare believe. Unless I see, unless I feel. And then he came. My Lord and my God. And so in our gospel today, we come face to face with Thomas. Oh, if you were to complete that phrase, Thomas is what? Sure. It would be doubter. That's how he's known. I recall back some years ago in my parish in Milwaukee, there was a gentleman, I think he was probably in his 50s. He was not a member of the church, but he came quite regularly, kind of sat on the fringes, came to my office, sat down. He said, Pastor, I look around me in church when I come to worship and I see all the other people. All looking so confident. No serious questions, seemingly. All seemingly so strong in their faith, at least that's the impression I get. So strong. And there I sit, all tangled up in questions, doubts, feeling like such a hypocrite in church. I firmly believe there is a God, but I have so many questions. And I can't just accept everything in the Bible without a lot of questions. Pastor, why can't I have the kind of faith it appears all the other people have? He's talking about you and me. But if the truth be known, the man I speak of has lots of company, doesn't he? You and I might be included among them. And that's okay. It's okay to be among the questioners and the doubters. For I strongly believe that doubt is more often a stepping stone to greater faith and to new understandings of that faith and of our God and our relationship with our God than it is a stumbling block. The one who seems so sure, the one who is so secure and never asks questions and never struggles, never doubts, often remains stagnant in their faith life, and it doesn't grow. That last portion of our scripture for today, it's a beauty. Now, Jesus did many other things that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name. That's this book. It is the book of faith, huh? We call it that many times. It is a book that helps us find our God through believing and knowing this one that we call Jesus. And this Jesus leads us to our God, our Creator, and thus our Redeemer. However, there are many people like Thomas who have those doubts. Think about in the scripture, some of the great people of faith in the scripture. Moses, when God called him to be the one to lead the people out of Egypt, Moses said, "I cannot do that. I am not capable." God says, "Trust me." Or think of Isaiah, who when God called this great prophet Isaiah, "I am too young, I cannot do it." God said, "Trust me." Or think about Paul, who said, "I am the greatest of sinners. Why should you call me?" God says, "Trust me." Sometimes we fall into doubt and despair and disbelief. And sometimes it is a necessary detour so that our faith might become more mature, stronger, fit for the daily life that God calls us into. I think back in the history of some of the great people of faith in the church. Go back some 500 years now. There's a man by the name of Martin Luther. We celebrate the Reformation this year, 500 years ago. But that seed was planted even before that by John Hus, many years before Luther. But it was not until Luther came along that it really caught fire and became the reforming movement in the church that it needed. And Luther, great pillar of faith, was said about him, "For more than a week, Christ has been wholly lost. I was shaken by desperation and blasphemy against God." Martin Luther. In the founding of our country, the Puritan church was a very important part of that time. The founder of that church and the one who was a part of our country was a man with an interesting name. By Increase Mather was his name. Great pillar of faith. However, in his diary, he made an entry like this: "Greatly molested today, by temptations to atheism. Wow. Even great pillars of faith struggled, doubted. So that brings us back to Thomas. He was a man like any man. Many sides to him. He was not a one-dimensional man, just like we're not one-dimensional people. We're all a conglomeration of anger and love, of joy and sadness, of faith and doubt. We have all of that wrapped up in this body, and sometimes it causes struggle. And so it was for Thomas as well. Let me tell you about three incidents in the life of Thomas that give a different picture than the one that we said, doubter. Thomas was a loyal friend of Jesus. One time, as the disciples were gathered together, Jesus said, "We need to go to Bethany," because his friend Lazarus, their friend Lazarus, had died. And many of them tried to dissuade Jesus from going because it was not too long ago that Jesus was there, and they tried to stone him. "You can't go back there, Jesus." And Thomas said, "Let us also go, that we may also die with him." Thomas. Well, think about that seeker, that questioner. On another occasion, Jesus was trying to explain to his disciples how he must die. They didn't understand this. They had been with him now some 3 years, and they did not understand. "Why do you have to go? What's going on?" And Thomas was the one who spoke up and said, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Thomas. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," said Jesus. And third, Thomas was also a committed disciple of Jesus. Committed. If you were to read the book of Acts, you'd find Thomas's name sprinkled throughout those chapters. He was found in prayer and in fellowship with the believers. And he was among those who, after the death of Jesus, took his ministry to another place. He went to India. And there he continued as a missionary, and he died there as a martyr. That's Thomas. Thomas, a loyal friend, a seeker, a committed disciple, but one who also doubted. Which one holds sway? Unfortunately, it's the doubter one. But I say to you today that those good qualities that we read about in Thomas, despite the doubts, perhaps those doubts were the springboard for those good qualities that we saw in Thomas. Can faith ever grow in a vacuum? No. Doubts often, questions often give way to greater faith, more mature faith, a living faith for our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to close then with a little piece that, just as a little personal aside, a week from tomorrow I will be going up to St. Paul, Minnesota, and going back to Luther Theological Seminary. And there I will celebrate a reunion of my 50th ordination. It'll be good to be with a lot of my friends who were there 50 years ago. I think back on some of the teachers and mentors that I had, and they were powerful in my life. Among them was a man by the name of Gerhard Frost. Gerhard Frost, a gentle, wise man. He wrote a number of books, among them a number of smaller books that had vignettes of faith and life. I conclude with one that he wrote that says, "Yes, doubt does keep gnawing at one's faith. I said to a friend, my friend in deep distress, I said it to encourage, but quickly he replied, without a moment's hesitation, but faith keeps gnawing at our doubts as well." It was a great response, and I am strengthened by it. Intending to comfort, I was comforted. Today I walk more boldly as I say, yes, doubt does gnaw at my faith, but faith gnaws too, and faith has better teeth. Amen.